As the world's reliance on computer technology increases, so too does the incident of cybercrime. Basic IT security measures such as antivirus software and regular system updates can protect against many forms of malicious attack. However, they may not be enough to prevent those that enter a system from an outside device. Richard Matthews is a PhD candidate from the University of Adelaide whose research focuses includes cybersecurity. He believes increased cyber awareness is crucial for tackling this new threat, and he joins us now. Welcome, Richard.
Thanks for having me, guys.
So how would you define a supply chain attack, and what way does it differ from other computer viruses?
So supply chain attacks are a really interesting one when it comes to cyber, because what it actually is it's rather than focusing on the system that you want to attack directly, what we do is you go in and you attack vulnerabilities in subsystems or systems that supply the main system. So a good example of this that gets thrown around is, say, your air conditioning system or heating systems. Most people don't generally think about these as something that would be vulnerable or a way of actually coming in and attacking. But back in the early 2000s, 2010s area, this is something that people started looking at. And in America, it was actually where attackers actually managed to get in and started stealing credit card data from Target, because they managed to come in through the HVAC system. You infected a computer in the HVAC system via the supplier, who wasn't all that conscious of IT security back then. They managed to get their little malware onto the computer in the HVAC controller, and then it just spread from there onto the point of sale terminal. From there, they just stole all the credit card detail back into the Ukraine. So the supply chain attack is literally attacking the weak elements in the chain in order to deliver a product.
So what types of organizations or maybe people would be most vulnerable to this type of attack?
Pretty much everyone. Small to medium businesses, most definitely, because they generally don't have the resources to explore all the weak links in their chains. But everyone is vulnerable to this sort of attack if they're not aware of it and they're not conscious of how to actually validate their supply chains or test them to ensure that they're following proper procedures.
So you mentioned that this type of cyber attack can come through, say, like air conditioners or whatever. Is this a relatively new concept then that can be, you know, interconnected throughout the business? Say, for example, is this a new thing that's coming?
It's not a new thing, but it's definitely something that's become more vulnerable lately as we start seeing the emergence of the Internet of Things. So nowadays, everything is connected to the Internet. I mean, we've got toilets in Japan that are connected to the Internet. We've got fridges connected to the Internet. We've got dishwashers and washing machines. All of these things have web servers built into them. The most inane object that you would think, why would you want to put a web server onto that? Why would you want it to be sending email? But when you look at corporate infrastructure, we want these devices to be able to send notifications to people so that you can set them about their job, set and forget, and they'll let you know when they're done their job so you can go back and reset it or do whatever. As soon as you connect that onto the internet, though, if there's no sort of security measures put in place to protect them and no proper security around that, then attackers can go in, look at the vulnerabilities, perhaps escalate back into the root directories, get root privileges, and all of a sudden start transversing onto the network to everything else.
And what kind of basic measures can be taken to prevent these kind of attacks?
Well, the most basic measure is quite simply segregate your network. So if you've got critical infrastructure that you want to protect, don't connect it to the same network as this dishwasher that's connected to the internet, for example. Your point of sale terminals that's dealing with credit card information, don't connect that to the internet, for example, unless you absolutely have to. And if you do have to, then don't connect that to the HVAC system, for example. Segregate your networks out. Make sure that your critical infrastructure is on one network, the client-facing stuff is on another network, and then the day-to-day operational network is a complete different network.
We're speaking with Richard Matthews, PhD candidate and cybersecurity expert, about supply chain cyber attacks. Now, you mentioned before that these attacks come externally. What sort of situations should people be suspect about, say, a USB stick?
Yeah, so USB sticks are a funny one. The last couple of years, we've seen the emergence of an attack called bad USB. And this came out of a talk in DEF CON around about 2012, I think it was, where literally people can take the USB stick, which most people think of as just a generic device where you can load data onto it. But what it actually is it's a device where there's two components. There's the USB controller and then the memory. And what these people do is they reprogram the USB controller to act like any other type of device. Now, this doesn't sound all that benign until you realize that you can program a USB stick to act like a keyboard, which means that you can plug a USB key in and all of a sudden acts like a keyboard and starts typing anything you want, which means you can make it do literally anything in the blink of an eye. So where we're typing away and we take time typing as a human, a computer doesn't need that time. And in fact, if you're getting a USB stick to act like a keyboard, you actually have to inject delays into the code to make it slow down. And what this means is you could actually get it to download malware off of a computer, put in a reverse backdoor so that somebody could come in and hack your computer, all these types of things. One of the funny things that we did recently on an exercise is we just made it go to YouTube and open up Never Gonna Give You Up by Rick Astley. Multiple times every 3 to 5 minutes.
And how difficult is it to put together a program like that on a USB?
Takes about 10 seconds.
Wow, that's so terrifying. Half of this stuff I've never really heard about. Do you think that issues and attacks like this are partly due to a lack of education?
It's more about a lack of what's called cyber hygiene. So if you find a USB key lying around, do you pick it up? Do you then plug it into a computer to try and find out what's on it to give it back to the owner? Or do you give it to someone dedicated in your organization who's responsible for these type of things? Or more importantly, do you just throw it out? If you don't know where this USB has come from, what is on it? Do you know? Is it clean? Is it fresh? These are all the types of things that you need to be aware of, because if you're not aware that the attack can happen, then you're probably just going to pick it up, plug it in, try and work out who it goes to, be a good Samaritan. If you're aware that this could be somebody trying to take down your radio station, for example, then you might be a little bit more conscious of plugging it into your system.
What do you see in the future of cybersecurity and cyber threats? What's maybe the things in the future that we need to be conscious and aware of?
That's a really hard question, because this field is ever evolving and ever changing. Something I could say today that's going to be the future might actually literally happen tomorrow. We're definitely starting to see a field where nation states are becoming more aware of this problem, and it's starting to become more weaponized, more of a military focus. But that's not to say that individual companies aren't becoming more aware of this as well. So it's definitely going down into two main facets now. You've got a military sort of grade cyber program operating now, but you've also got individual companies that are aware of this sort of thing as well. But they're very blended together, because what some nation states might try and do as a military operation might actually target individual companies in order to disrupt a country's economy, for example. So it's really a hard question to answer about what's going to happen in the future. Because it's just so blended and murky at the moment. If you'd asked me that question 12 months ago, I could have given you a solid answer, but it's just changing so rapidly at the moment.
And is this a thing that you think people need to be really conscious of and aware of, trying to keep up with what these trends are?
Yeah, most definitely. We head overseas every year to some major conferences and actually stay updated on this, and that's now starting to get to a point where even there, that's not becoming enough to stay up to date. That's how fast this field's moving.
Richard, thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Thanks.